Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and today we are going to talk about learning to live a God-centered life on this sensational Saturday. You know, living a God-centered life is living a prosperous life, obviously, but as all of us know, it is a process. It first requires learning to be God-centered while living in a world-centered environment. But focusing on the Lord enables us to defeat the giants through the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit instead of our own. Can anybody say hallelujah? Early one morning, the Lord spoke to my spirit, and this has been some years ago. He said that I would never feel secure or like I was on the right path as long as I was world-centered. But when I became God-centered, I would have peace. You know, peace is a gift that you cannot buy. Peace allows you to know that everything is going to be all right without having to know the details about how they're going to be all right. You just know that God is taking care of things. Isaiah 26:3, one of my very favorites. Isaiah 26:3, matter of fact, I quote it every day. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Of course, the way I confess it is, Lord, I know you will keep me in perfect peace because my mind, I like the classic amplified, both its inclination and its character are stayed on you because I trust in you. King David was someone just like you and me, and yet God taught him how to defeat the giants in his life by becoming God-centered, and eventually, of course, made him a king. He was the last son of a very large family, and there seems to be some evidence that his mother was not the same as those of his other siblings, the same mother. We do know that he was not highly esteemed, and for that reason ended up being the one who was sent out to take care of the sheep. If you like to read Old Testament stories, and I really always have, you'll remember David was not even invited to the feast when the prophet Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king of Israel. But God used that time of being sent out and away from the family to draw David into becoming God-centered. God never forces us to do anything, but the Holy Spirit will woo us, draw us, and we can see how David became God-centered through the many psalms he wrote. Think about this for just a minute. David spent days, nights by himself tending his father's sheep out in the wide open spaces, sleeping under the stars. Plus, his family is taught in the usual Jewish traditions, but David had a chance to see firsthand God's marvelous universe. Plus, David loved to play his musical instrument and sing. By observing nature, his psalms are full of imagery from his surroundings. The Lord is my rock. Or when I view and consider your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you ordained and established, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was away from the world of his earthly father and family, and he learned to become dependent upon the God of everything. And for everything. In 1 Samuel 17, David is still a young man tending sheep when he's sent by his father to see how his three older brothers are doing serving in Saul's army. We know and love the story, don't we? When he gets there, David begins talking with his brothers when Goliath comes out taunting the army of Israel. Harold recently referenced this story. And it's really one that could be taught on a number of levels. But I really enjoy how David relied on his God-centered living to defeat that giant. So let's start with verse 23. In verse 23, it says, and he talked with them, and behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. The giant's name, by the way, in the Hebrew word is G-A-L-A-H, G-A-L-A-H, which means to be made nude. Goliath was someone who stripped the army of Israel of its dignity and humiliated them because they felt incapable of being able to win over this massive enemy. This is a very similar way in which Satan uses debt or other overwhelming problems against God's people. The debt or the problem he uses appears so enormous that it seems to tower over you and make you feel stripped of your dignity. He tries to humiliate you because you maybe can't pay the bill on time or you seem defeated in the natural, unless you are God-centered. The story of David and Goliath is a great analogy of how we defeat debt and other problems in our lives. Notice what captures David's interest, though, enough to ask about the details as many as three times. In verse 25 through 27, verses 25 says, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel.'" In verse 26, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Verse 27, "And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.'" David sees two things here. There's a great reward for defeating this enemy. And number two, because he is God-centered, he knows this Philistine is not, and he doesn't see the size of the giant, only the size of his God in such a situation. Now, Eliab, David's older brother, who is described as tall and very fine looking in 1 Samuel chapter 16, responds just like many of our friends or perhaps even our relatives might when we begin to do something better financially or do something greater than they've been doing. Verse 28 says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thine art come down that thou mightest see the battle.'" No one likes to think they're going to be surpassed, and many will want to minimize your stature. But notice, even though David was his younger brother, his response to Eliab's criticism. In verse 29, it says, "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" First, David says, what I'm doing is not against God, but for him. And David realized that there is no shame in being rewarded for what he's done and would do. In verse 30, it says, "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner." David wants to hear one more time what will happen to the man who defeats this uncircumcised Philistine. Eventually, Saul gets word of the fact that someone has come forward to take on the giant. But Saul is obviously reluctant because he looks at David in the natural, fighting against this big giant who's been a warrior from his youth. And in verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" And in verse 37, skipping ahead, says, "David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" You know, out in the wilderness, David learned to rely on God to defeat the lion and the bear because there wasn't anybody else around, which then qualified him to be able to look at Goliath. When people were looking at the giant, he was looking at someone who could be defeated. But still, Saul tries to help, as you know, solve problems just like other people try to help you solve your problems. We just talked about this the other day. He had David put on his armor. And in verse 39, Saul told David, "Here, use my armor to protect you." And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he sayed it to go. But he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. The word proved here means tested, in a sense that you know something works for you. God taught him how to kill the lion and the bear. And the literal meaning of what David is saying is, I've not tried this and found it to be something that's proven to work for me. Sometimes slaying our giants will be as easy as just obeying God in the moment he presents the opportunity. David shows how God-centered he is in verse 45, and it says this, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Several things we notice in these scriptures. David speaks out boldly what he's about to do and what's going to happen and why. Then he tells him what he intends to do. And then he tells him why. Because the Philistine has defied God, the God of Israel. And then he says, then everyone is going to recognize that there is a glorious living God. And the last thing he says, then he said, God is going to get all the glory for this great victory. And in verse 40, it says, 48, it says, And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. This last verse, verse 50, we see David prevailed over a huge enemy with nothing more than what you and I would probably call a kid's toy. With God on our side, we are a majority, and it doesn't matter how the opponent appears when we know God will give us the victory. You know, when we can apply God principles in our situation, and we know that we can, then we know we're going to win, because God is showing us how to win. That proves that God-centeredness and becoming God-centered is the way to be successful in this world. I hope you've enjoyed today. I pray that you will have a super sensational day. And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. And join me again tomorrow. God bless. We love you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.